Business Half On, Classic FM 97.3 with Ugo Dries. What you're listening to, if you just tuned in, as always, he is ready to go. And how is it? I hear the traffic out there is nasty this morning. But keep it locked here. We are the best company on radio. Good morning, Ugo.
Hi, Bukola. Yeah, I did. Traffic Monday. I don't think we've had this kind of traffic in a while. So for all of you on Third Mainland, stuck in traffic, Godspeed, man. It's not easy. You're probably going to be at work a little late, but never mind. We're here to keep you company, right?
Yeah, we're here.
All right. So we do this every Monday, 8 to 8:30, on our metrics business half hour, where we get to interview some of the most amazing young entrepreneurs in Nigeria. On today's show, we're doing something a bit different. In as much as one of our guests is caught up in traffic, we are going to do a bit of a recap of some of the learning points that we've gotten from some of the guests we've had on the show.
Right.
What do you think?
It's a good idea. At least we've learned, we've heard about people's experiences. Let us go back to the classroom a bit and find out how you can actually, you know, correct some of the mistakes you make.
Exactly. So we've learned a lot from these guys, and we've also been taking our own notes, by the way. So we take our own notes, we go back and listen to the podcast and learn some things that, you know, you can at least help you avoid starting on the wrong foot. So today we're going to be doing this often, once in a while. Once we just go back to some of the things that we've learned and then have a recap on the show and basically try to like explain it to our listeners. So without much ado, let's dive in.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to be talking about some of the mistakes, or maybe let's just call it characteristics of failed startups. Okay, so companies that usually fail, and how did we come to some of the points we're going to, you know, narrate today? You know, by listening to a lot of our guests, you can actually get from them some of the things that excuse me, that they do or they've done to basically keep their business going for the last at least 3-4 years. And some of them tell you, like, look, if I could do this again, this is exactly how I would have done it or what I would change. And so from that, you can basically glean and have a fair idea of what you can do to avoid being a failed startup. By the way, some people think it's not bad having a failed startup, though.
Maybe, well, if you can rise up
after that failed startup. So the upside of having a failed startup is that there's a whole lot of lessons that you can learn that you can basically put back into your new venture and make it even better. Some of the most successful guys, you know, today all had failed startup, or mostly had failed startups.
Failing forward.
Yeah, they fail. And then, I mean, somebody has, I can remember one of the most remarkable stories is that of Steve Jobs. You know, started his company, and then after some years, he was booted out of the company. The company was like, I think, a month or two away from bankruptcy, Apple, before they brought him back to come on and be CEO. And then he came back, and the rest is history.
Up.
Now it's a $1 trillion company and all of that. So sometimes, you know, some people need a little bit of failure,
but you know,
just to kickstart.
His business has actually outlived him. He's not here anymore.
Yeah.
But here in Nigeria, I guess maybe probably we'll find out more why things like that happen. You find that a lot of startups don't evolve like that, where the business finally leaves the owner.
Mm. You know, one thing that I've observed, or from a lot of the books that I've read and what you've seen across the West, is that for startups or for companies to basically outlive their founders, they've got to be able to sort of divulge ownership, like spread ownership. Right. So what you see in Nigeria is that the owner probably wants to hold on to, you know, 80% of the entire company. And also the company is basically built around one person. And then, you know, the person just stays on there. And then when the person goes,
that's it
for the company. And maybe the family really can't run it well. But abroad, you see that the owners of the company probably hold on to maybe 5, 8, 10% of that company. 90% is owned by diverse investors, diverse shareholders who don't own, maybe up to 5% of the business, right? So that way there's shareholder power, there's a lot more accountability, a lot more transparency. So the family doesn't necessarily run the business or determine who runs the business, even though they hold the own controlling shares or voting rights or what have you. So that way businesses like that basically outlive their founders. I mean, think about some of the well-known names, you know, today. A lot of them, you know, have outlived their founders, like over decades and all, and they're still sojourning on.
100 years,
yeah.
When you go back,
yeah, even some of the new ones, exactly, exactly. Even the new ones we're seeing today, like I was reading something in the news, and they were talking about shareholders, you know, pushing for the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, to relinquish his position as chairman/CEO. So they are saying, look, you can't be chairman and CEO any longer, on the back of some of the challenges that they're having. Or they've been having, and they're saying, look, you gotta choose one. Either you want to be chairman, you gotta be CEO, mm-hmm. so that you can have some transparency and accountability, you know, in the company. So, and they do this because, I mean, they don't want, like, if he's going down, you don't want Facebook to go down with him.
That's
you
right.
Yes. Yeah. So you gotta be able to protect shareholders' interest, and that's and abroad, like in the UK, in the US, and even in Germany. Even in China, a lot of companies are quoted. A lot of their biggest companies are quoted on their stock exchange. So when you quote a company on a stock exchange, then it's bound to have diverse investors. And these diverse investors basically determine how the company is run. So, but in Nigeria here, very few. I think we have just about 200 companies listed on Nigerian stock exchange. Not a lot at all. New York Stock Exchange, you have over 5,000 companies. I mean, like, so many companies listed. So here, just 200 companies listed compared to over 10,000 companies that you have registered in Nigeria.
We can do better.
So, yeah, we can do much better. So when you have things like that, it's mostly family-run business, and they largely don't outlive you know, their patronage. I remember a lot of those companies that we used to know when we were younger. A lot of them don't exist again today.
My mind was just going back. You know, there's this favorite biscuit of ours that all of us took to school at break time. You had the round one. You had
that's the Ocking biscuit.
You had the
break time.
You know, so
yeah, they had their own story was quite sad as well. I mean, the factory shut down some years back. So many issues, family issues, and all. I mean, that company never listed on the stock exchange. So, and when you're not listed, you also can't attract the kind of funding that you need to continue to move on or continue to expand. So those are just
that biscuit would have given these other imported biscuits a run for their money.
Of course, it was. I mean, like, flashback. So many companies like that. I mean, that. What about the you know, alleged winner of the June 12 election, MK Abiola? He had so many amazing companies back then. Oil companies in the media. You know, and not today. They're no longer there. All right. So we're gonna look at a few points. Lagos, if you're with me, the first one, you know, that I learned from these guys, Bukola, and if you remember, they always talked about, you know, the experience of having a 9-to-5 job before starting your own business.
So right? It's key.
Yeah, yeah. They've always said that it's very key. So if you want to be very successful, I mean, it's not like the rule applies to everybody, but for most that I've seen, they always tell you that, look, yeah, what has really helped them the most is that they've worked somewhere before, so you know it gives you an understanding of how business functions. So it gives you the business know-how that you really can't buy, the kind of things that you probably maybe pay for in business school. In fact, you can't even get it. So like I think it was Noble last week, he was talking about, you know, by working, having a 9-to-5 job, that helped him understand timing, how to structure
discipline,
emails, how to work with calendars, you know, and things like how to set up his office, how colleagues should function, relate with each other, and, you know, courtesy in business. And I mean, these are things that you really can't learn on your own, like, or in your garage or your, you know, your room if you're starting your business. So you really need to be somewhere to learn how to do things like that. Even your organizational structure, things like, okay, who should be the CEO, what kind of departments do I need, who should head those departments, what should be their KPIs, what should be their targets, what should be their job descriptions, things like that. You learn them when you've worked in a structured organization. So having a 9-to-5 experience is very, very important. It's a bit like tutelage, you know, what we talk about, like having a mentor. If you don't have a 9-to-5 experience, you probably need to get a mentor, right? Mentors are very, very important, because with a mentor can guide you.
I remember some other young guy that came in, and when you asked him what one of his regrets was, and he said not having a 9-to-5 job before I went into my business. Can you remember?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they mentioned that, a lot of them have said it, like the ones who didn't have, right, like not having a 9-to-5 job. I mean, the guy was, you know, unequivocal about it. He was like, look, I should have had a 9-to-5 job. That would have really, really, really helped me expand better. Not that they regret it, but I mean, it would have just been an advantage. So bottom line is that you gotta have that business experience. Is very important if you want to be successful. Of course, if you don't want to be successful, then maybe if you want to fail. So if you want to be successful, you gotta have that bit of experience. The next thing that's even more important, you know, you and I have always talked about this thing, especially with some of our young burgeoning entrepreneurs, is time management.
Oh.
Time management is a huge, huge problem. Like keeping to appointments, trying to be on time for meetings and engagements. It's very, very important.
It's part of discipline when you work with an organization, because if you don't keep to time, there's going to be some punitive measure in place, you know, to get your act together.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
If you don't have that, you can't roll.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was sometime last year, I visited one office, they're called Andela. And I was talking to the CEO, and I was discussing with him about how they manage, you know, their time and you know, how they operate that, like their work culture. And he says, look, that one thing that's very important for them is time management. And he says something that was quite intriguing. He says that, look, when they're having meetings and a meeting is set for 1 hour, once it's past an hour, you can basically stand up and leave, regardless of who's talking. Even if he's talking as
that's
the CEO, you can just stand up and leave. So that way, he's kind of disciplined, and he doesn't go past that 1 hour. And I've actually read that in a few books that I've read about very successful entrepreneurs. They take time management seriously. I mean, you just don't come into meetings, and meetings are meant to be for 1.5 hours, and then you go on 2 hours, 3 hours. I mean, like, you got to keep to time. And I think it's very difficult to do, but it's a work culture that you can basically develop and imbibe.
If you list your agenda and you stick by it, if anybody's veering off,
you bring them back. Exactly, because there are some things that you could basically discuss somewhere else, not in a meeting. Like, meeting. So if you're given an opportunity to talk, you got to be able to talk within the time lane, go straight to the point, don't beat around the bush, because people have a lot of things to do. So time management is very, very important. And if you don't have that kind of culture, right, in your business, then what it means is that you can't basically even meet something as important as client demand. So maybe a client tells you, oh, deliver this, that, so time. Because your organization has a poor work culture, you won't be able to deliver. It just happens, you know, that way.
And apologies all the time. We're sorry. How long will they take your apologies for?
Exactly. So time management is very important. If you're building an organization that doesn't have, you know, effective time management as one of his values or one of his fundamental principles, then you are setting up to fail. We're going to go on a short break, and when we're back, I would continue with the rest of the points.
All right. Stay with us. It is Business Hour here with Ugo Dre.
Giant, I am an eagle, oh, I am a lion down in the jungle. I am a marching band, I am the people, oh, I am a helping hand, I am a hero. If anybody asks you who I am, just stand up tall, look them in the face and say, that star up in the sky, from that mountain peak up high. Hey, I made it. I'm the world's greatest. And I'm that little bit of hope when my back's against the ropes. I can feel it. I'm the world's greatest.
Well, being the world's greatest takes a lot of discipline, right, Ugo? You can't just be the world's greatest if you do not have discipline.
Yes. You gotta have discipline. If you want to be great at whatever it is that you do, I mean, nothing more than being great at your business. I mean, it's just a very, very amazing feeling when you're doing something that you love doing, you're making money from it, and you're great at it. But it requires a lot of hard work. So if you're just tuning in, this is Business Half Hour with Naira Metrics, and I am Ugo Dre. On today's show, we don't have a guest, but I'm taking you through some of the good learning points that we've had, some of the amazing guests we've had on this show over the last few months. So we've talked about two things that you need to do if you want to get your business, you want to have your startup successful, and at least run without too much of a problem. The first one is that you got to have very good business know-how. If you want to be a founder or owner of a startup, make sure you have that experience. It's always important. You can't buy it anywhere. Try and have a little bit of tutelage somewhere, maybe work for someone for a month or two, learn, or maybe get a mentor if maybe you never had worked with anyone before. But always try and get a mentor. Mentors always help you, you know, share their experiences. Are something that you can't buy, you can't even learn in business school. And then we talked about poor time management. Very important for you to manage your time. Time is something that you should make sure that it's a fundamental culture in whatever organization that you are trying to build. Without time management, everything just collapses for a business. And so we'll move to the next one. You got to be able to have the right team. Like that's one thing, you know. I think it was the Fint guys that were here, and even the Pace Crew guys, and they were talking about, you know, the kind of teams that they had. So if you find out, a lot of them were like friends,
right,
from school, you know, they
shared the same passion,
the same passion and everything. I mean, like, in as much as they're serious about their business, you could actually see the bond within them, you know, how much they understand each other. You know, someone say, look, I'm the CEO, but you know what, this guy here, he runs the marketing, he's the guy in charge of marketing, and all this other guy here is the guy in charge of, you know, image. And these things are, I mean, if you look at businesses that have been successful around the world, it's always had that, you know, about it, like very, very strong teams. Like, the most important asset you can have in any business, really, actually, you know, human resources, the kind of people that you have in your team. If you have a very, very, very sound, amazing team, you just always will be successful.
That's true.
You can hardly fail as a business. And check some of the businesses that we had today. Even some of the most successful Nigerian businesses, they've always had very, very strong leaders, strong teams. Some of these guys have been there for some time. Is it about banking? Even if you go to the banking space, same thing. Look at some of the two biggest banks you have today in Nigeria, GTB, Zenith Bank. Their leaders were very successful people, from Fola Adeola to Tayo to Segun. I mean, like, strong teams. And if you find out when they all started, they also started very well with a very strong team too. By the way, some of the guys that were in their teams have also gone ahead to own other banks. Look at how about Rigui and Ike. They were all in the original GTB team.
Really?
Yeah. Look at Femi Pedro. They all worked in GTB at some point when they started in 1992. So these guys have gone on to set up big companies, right? I mean, so you can see that in a lot of startups, even abroad, you see that as well. I could remember the guys who set up PayPal. I've forgotten their nickname, but there's a name they call those guys, the guys who set up PayPal. A lot of them have gone ahead to set up several other companies. Like, some of them were the early investors in Facebook and co. So having a strong team is very, very, very critical. So whenever it is that you're hiring, if there's any time you need to make a very critical decision, and you know, that time, or when you need to actually spend time making a critical decision, is hiring, especially for key positions in your business. Hiring for your chief marketing officer, hiring for your chief technology officer, hiring for your chief HR officer. You got to spend time getting these people, because these are the guys that will drive your business. You can't just not do without it. And it might be, sometimes you might think that, you know, poaching, getting people to come and work for your startup might just be very difficult because you can't afford them. But sometimes, as a founder, as a CEO, if you're able to basically, you know, explain, share your dreams to them, let them know what it is that you really want to do,
and be frank, are you up to this? If you can't, are you sure you're ready to go with this dream? It's not like you're trying to intimidate anybody.
Exactly. Just explain what your dream is. I mean, people actually invest in dreams. People believe in dreams and aspirations. So if you're able to clearly articulate that, people will definitely want to work for you. So it's very, very important that you have a very good team. Do not mess with teams. Make sure you have a good team, good set of employees, and build very good teams. Make sure you have team bondings. Make sure you call your employees or your colleagues on your birthdays, visit their family functions. I mean, like, have that bond. These things all lead to higher productivity. It's been proven time and time again that having very good teams and strong team culture leads to higher productivity. So it's something that you want to have. If you don't have it, then you're basically setting up a business that might end up failing, right?
I agree.
Yeah. And so the next one on our list is competition. A lot of the guys that have come here have talked about competition and like how they address the market and their competitors. So most of them basically also track what their competitors are doing. You can't be in a business and not know what your competitors are doing. But you see, it's far beyond you as an entrepreneur, as an owner of the business or founder of the business, tracking your competitors. Every single person in your company needs to know who the competitors are and need to have an idea of what the competitor is doing.
Spy.
Yeah, because that way, that kind of stuff. Because that way, then you know that, oh, you know, this is what we should be doing and doing better, or this is what we're not doing. It could even be the smallest guy in your office, even the security guard or the driver walking up and say, "Oh, God, these other guys, see what I learned that they are doing. I'm just to make I tell you." You never know. That could just change everything for you.
And that goes to how you treat your workers as well. You
exactly.
Treat them as family.
Exactly. Then they can always share that kind of information. But it's always very important to not underestimate competition. You never want to do that. Even if you think the business you do, you're the only one doing it, there's probably somebody out there who's thinking of a creative way to disrupt you. So never underestimate the competition. Keep the competition very close to you as well. Don't distance yourself from the competition. I think some people sometimes, when you see competition, you try to, like, you know, create a Chinese wall between yourselves and competition. Mm-hmm. Try to distance yourself from them. Pretend like you don't want to know what they are doing. Get away from them. In fact, you actually create some kind of enmity. Nope. You got to know what your competition is doing all the time. Keep them very close to you. Watch them. Follow them very well. At the end of the day, we think about Facebook and or Instagram and Snapchat. There's serious competition. What's going on? Like, anything Snapchat does, Instagram does it as well. So it's basically, don't get shy to copy sometimes. Because it's a business,
man.
And
look for a better way to copy.
Yeah, just look for a better way to do it. So you can only do these things if you're very close to your competition. In-house conflicts, you got to try as much as possible to avoid it. We talked about having a very, very good team. So if you have a very good team built, you can avoid in-house conflicts. These things really, really destroy the life and soul of businesses when you have in-house conflicts. And that's why it's always good to have very good work culture. If you have a very good work culture where there's no enmity, there's no favoritism, you know, there's no nepotism, people don't really have conflicts. And you can do these things when you're just starting a business, not like in the middle or when you guys have already built a culture already. So to avoid in-house conflicts, make sure people have, you know, rights to their own opinion, to air their opinion about issues. You got to let everybody understand that, look, this is all business. It's nothing personal. Everybody's here for one common objective, to grow the revenue and profits of the business. So nothing, you know, you can have a little bit of conflict sometimes. Sometimes it helps maybe instigate, confidence or get people going. But then you can't have it, permeate into the entire soul of the business, and then everybody's always at conflict with each other. Most businesses that are failed have always been out of internal conflicts. Usually happens like that, and then they battle each other, and then maybe the chief marketing officer exits, and then the chief technical officer exits, and then the CEO is alone, and so they can go to hell, and inside. So I mean, like, the life and soul of the business just starts to destroy.
When
so
there's your employee turnover is high, when
exactly,
people are leaving,
exactly,
it doesn't speak
exactly
well for your business.
Yeah, yeah, it's very disastrous to have in-house conflict. So you got to try as much as possible to avoid it. Now, personal interference, my God, this one is so pervasive in Nigeria. Like, you have a lot of people who, especially owners of businesses, who interfere into how businesses are run. You can be, you know, CEO of a business, but you got to give your employees an opportunity to actually run their business. These guys are experts. These guys are professionals at what they do. You can't always interfere in their businesses.
Yourself, why did you?
Yeah, why didn't you do it yourself? No, but I understand that there are some businesses that have worked this way. Why, you know, where when the owners basically interfere in the business on how it's run. I mean, some get it, but not everybody can do it right. I mean, like, it takes a lot to do that right. So, but, you know, people will tell you that, look, trust me, supposed to avoid it. Another thing that you need to also try avoiding is interfering in the company's finances. So most times when you're the owner of the company, there's always that tendency to want to just dip in your hands into the company's coffers and then use the money for whatever you want to use it for. You got to be able to police yourself on some kind of salary. And you know what? Even if you're interfering, you're dipping your hands in the company's profits or cash, you should also record it. You have to record it somewhere, and either you call it companies probably, you know, maybe management expenses or a loan to you or something, because you know that you got to pay that money at some point in time. And when you always see it going up, you can say, eh, you mean I've drawn this much out of this business, and then you can keep yourself on some kind of a,
I think to the barest minimum budget. Try not to do that.
So what you can also do is sometimes you can have the business pay for some of your, if you think you have maybe some personal expenses that you don't want to, you know, you don't want to pay from yourself.
Well, you have to justify the is it profitable to the business?
Exactly. That's why you need to have a board of directors, even if you own the entire company, have a board of directors who can also have their say, have strong management that can tell you, look, boss, we got to do things differently. Finally, we're basically running out of time. Have very good accounting records, no matter what it is. Try and keep very good books of account. I was telling some people last week who just started their business, and I was like, look, the first thing you want to do is every amount you spent up until the day you started that business, have it recorded somewhere. Mm. It's called your pre-operational expenses. It's always, always very, very important to have that record kept. Sometimes we don't remember, I've set up an office. So all the amounts you used to set up your office, you've even forgotten how much you bought the AC for, how much you bought the furniture for. So you have to put all those things recorded, yeah. And then have just a simple spreadsheet that you can record your income and your expenses, your especially and then outflow of cash from your bank account, outflow of cash from your petty cash. Just those are just simple basic things that you can run with for like 6 months. And then when you've started your business, when you've run for like a year, then you can start to go a bit more, you know, to the higher level where you can, you know, you can get an accountant and all. So Lagos, I hope that you've gotten some tips that you can use to avoid having a failed startup. Until we meet again next week. Remember, if you've got questions, you can tweet at me at Ugodre or tweet at the Nairametrics team at nairametrics.com. And visit our website. A podcast version of the show will be available tomorrow. You can also send me a message if you've got a question on our Nairametrics number. I think it's 0805-104-0390.
All right.
Make sure it's WhatsApp. Bukola, that's our show.
Thank you so much, Hugo, for coming in this morning. I learned a lot as well. But sometimes I ask myself, do I have that entrepreneurial spirit? I don't think it's for everybody.
It doesn't have to be for everyone.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.